We're doing the Seder Kabbalah. We're up to page 103 in these editions. We have all these great compilations coming out in that generation of Rebbe. And nonetheless, there was so many horrible things happening that people's capacity to understand was diminished, as we discussed earlier today. Happiness opens the heart, and sadness closes the heart. So people couldn't be so happy. They're being chased. Their families are being killed. So the later generations had to compile their expansions and explanations. Sometimes they had to point out a contradiction, make an editor's note on things that they agreed. If there was a strong question, as the Talmud tells us in Beitzah, you could only bring in wood on Yom Tov from wood that was gathered in a karpef, in an area that was fenced in.
What's karpef?
Karpef is an area that they used to fence in for wood, classically. Karpef is any area that's fenced in halachically, but the classical karpef is an area that they fenced in for wood. They'd keep wood in this like corral. It was fenced in. V'ikshav anan min ha-karpef nan. Our Mishnah says mina karpef. It doesn't say mina mchunasin bakarpef. Mina mchunasin bakarpef means that within the karpef, within this corral, you have to have a pile of wood. And our Mishnah, the Gemara says, our version of the Mishnah says, so long as it's in this corral, that's okay. You don't need, it should be in a pile in there. Klamar v'afilu mina mfuzarin, meaning the Talmud says, our tradition says, even if they're scattered in there, you could gather it. V'tiretz matnitin yechidai. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is an individual opinion. Meaning there is such an opinion, but that's not the primary opinion. So that's the Meiri is learning that that's an editor's note. They technically were editing the Mishnah. The generation of Shmuel, the generation after Rabbi, Rab and Shmuel, Rabbi's disciples. V'chein amru, we have a Gemara that says, Sami Mikan, erased from the Mishnah, this and this line. Kach v'kach. So they quoted the Mishnah. We have the Mishnah in the original text. And then the Gemara comes along and says, Sameh Mekan, erase that out of the Mishnah. V'chein amru, you have the Talmud and Chulin that says, Parat chatat ina Mishnah. The Mishnah that says, this halacha about a cow of a chatas, that's not a Mishnah. No, that's not.
Is it a Mishnah?
Ina Mishnah. Yeah, that's not a correct quote. That's not really what the Mishnah said. V'chein b'perek acholetz, you have the Talmud in Yevamis, and Mishnat Masrek Shepishtan Shnat Lo Shina V'amura B'taharot. Over that Mishnah in Taharis, the Talmud says, Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish Tehamitav V'ayu Ena Mishnah. Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish both declared, that's not a Mishnah, it's a misquote. So you have this throughout the Shas, you have these editorial comments. V'chein tamid itma chesui mechsera. And we frequently have the Talmud saying, there's something missing from the Mishnah. You have to interject a line here or there. V'chein v'lav terutzim et aretzta le'terutz ve'imahachi. Sometimes the Talmud says, why can't you just answer by saying that you edit the Mishnah, say that the Mishnah means like this. V'chein arbe k'yotze be'ilu k'mo sh'nasa ayom af anachnu l'rishonim l'izkenenu hakodmin lanu ve'ovrim lefanenu v'al roshenu. And that's what we do today too. When we have the works of our predecessors who are much bigger than us, but sometimes you have to make editor's notes in their works. You have to say, this is a misprint. Just last night I was talking to the Rosh Kollel from Tiferes Yerushalayim, and he told me that they found a place in the Mishnah Brura, written 50 years ago. That one edition says Mutar, and one edition says Asur. Same line, same typeset, big difference. They showed it to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was also surprised. Someone decided to make an editor's note. Which is the right one, right? We have it throughout the Shulchan Aruch, in the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch too.
What? Where in the Shulchan Aruch it says Asur, sometimes it's Mutar, and the other way?
Not exactly, but we have places in the Shulchan Aruch which are written in Rashi script, and we don't know who wrote it. Was it the Shulchan Aruch himself? Was it the Ramah? Was it the editor? We have places where it's very clear that the Rashi script is not the Ramah. or the
what
Ramah.
Do you mean the Shulchan Aruch in the Rashi script? What does this mean?
So the printers put this in a special print, meaning ordinarily in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber's opinion is written in regular print, and the Ramah is in Rashi print.
Okay.
It's in a different font. And then you have some things which are written in that font, which have a parenthesis around them, and we don't know who wrote that. Sometimes it fits with the Shulchan Aruch, sometimes it fits with the Ramah, and sometimes with neither. And sometimes the commentaries assume it's a Shulchan Aruch, and sometimes the commentaries assume it's the Ramah, and sometimes neither. So you have the Rashi print, you have a different font that the printers were trying to denote something, and when we look at the original manuscript, suddenly we don't have a consistent understanding of what this other font is doing there. We know classically that's the font of the Ramah, but sometimes it doesn't begin with a Haggah, which is the classical introduction of the Ramah's comments. Now,
sometimes
who wrote that?
Sometimes the Haggah doesn't begin with Haggah.
Right.
I mean, that
meaning you have Ramah print, you have the font in which the Ramah was printed, but it doesn't say Haggah there.
I mean, in addition to the things you just talked about, there's also
right?
things that are for sure Ramahs.
Now, Lav Dafka, we don't know if it's the Ramah. Right?
So it is the same. Okay.
And as the Talmud says, as a generalization, the Talmud says, when Rebbe's grandson made an institution, so his contemporary said, your grandfather didn't do this, why are you doing this? So he said, well, my grandfather left room for me to be innovative too. He didn't sign off on the Shas and say, that's it, no one after me could say anything. He did as much as he thought, but he also left room for the later generations to do what they thought. So that there's no signing off on halacha. What was he really saying? He was saying that nothing that's made by a human being can be whole. And so you always have to leave room for other people to make additions or additions with an A or additions with an E. You have to leave that room because there's no human creation which is perfect, and it could be from the most chosen human being. There has to be something that where the later generations have room to argue, and that's what we have in the Mishnah too. So you have editor's notes, this is a very interesting understanding the Meiri is giving us, because what do we read between the lines here? He's saying that basically the later generations would sometimes use wording of erase that from the Mishnah, or that's not a part of the Mishnah, or add that to the Mishnah, and he puts this under the heading of expanding, explaining, contradicting, and fixing the Mishnah. And he concludes by saying, well, nothing's perfect. That certainly doesn't sound like what I'd say about an explanation. If it's an explanation, so then it was perfect. It just needed more explanation. When you say erase that or add that, that certainly sounds like I'm disagreeing with. I'm adding to. I'm editing. And that's the thought he concludes with.
That's censoring.
What? I wouldn't say censoring, because they left the original text. They quote the original text and say, well, we feel it should be changed. But this is fully in line with what we've seen in the Ramban in the end of the first parak of Eruvin, with what we saw in the Agos HaBach, in the Bach, in the Tshuva Seminayin, in the Bach, in Eben Ezer Tesvav, that the comments of the Talmud, even though they seem editorial, are sometimes, in their language, really representing their opinion and not a fixing of the original Mishnah. This definitely seems to be supportive of that understanding.